15 degrees, you can see your breath. Out here in the lake effect, breaking tables like it's poetry. Where else would you rather be? Pinto, Ron, Elvis, and the Le Poncho. The members that you need to know. Cause once you're out here now, your family. Where else would you rather be?
Welcome into the Nickel City Crew. I am your host, Rob Crippen. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Nickel City Crew. This episode, along with all of our episodes, are presented by Crippen Legacy Entertainment here on Spreaker and StreamYard. We're so glad that you're joining us for some of your Buffalo Bills and NFL content again today. And as always, these are my Bills thoughts said out loud.
It's a vibe so ridiculous. Since 12 plus 83 was sick. The shout rocking like a symphony. Where else would you rather be?
Oh man, this is what's up. I like this little vibe right now. Season 3, Nickel City Crew in the building, episode 1. Holla at the crew, DT. What's good, man? I am happy to be back. We, again, as I kind of closed out season 2 with you guys, and DT did as well with me, you know, we're going to take a little break. We still have to take some decompression. This last season was really, really hard, but a line in the sand has been drawn. We are on the new league year. 2023 is officially upon us, as you see all of the different crazy transactions going on across the league, and we'll get into a lot of that tonight. Joining me, as always, my co-host, season 3. I could have never even imagined it once I started a couple of years ago. What's up, DT? Holla at the crew. Holla at the crew. We started 1 year ago. Now look at us now. Season 3. What's up?
Let's go. Let's go. How we doing, Rob? What's up, Nickel City crew? We're out here for sure. Season 3, they say third time's a charm. So maybe our third season is the year we get the parade and everything else we wanted, Rob. So let's go off of that. That can be obviously will be our theme as we go through of getting that parade, getting it done. But third time's a charm. Already a little a busy week for the organization and the fans. So looking forward to seeing what we can do more, you know, throughout this offseason.
Yeah, man, we're ramping up, and the draft will be upon us before we know it next month. I wanted to kind of open the episode tonight to kind of get everybody caught up on. I mean, it's season 3, man. We've come a long way, DT. A year anniversary just passed. You've been with me for at least a good 6-7 months now. Solid. How was Florida, man? How was the trip down there, man? You went down there right after your birthday. Holla at us. What was Florida like, man?
It was a good time, Sunday, man. Florida. Always makes you think why I still live up in Buffalo. That's for sure. Just beautiful weather. Just nice to I'm sure you see a little more, obviously, of the sunshine down in Charlotte and whatnot. Yeah. But just changes the vibe, man. You know, just being out there and you see the sun and every day you just kind of have a different vibe about it. Great time. Good group of friends down there. But
I heard that you came back though with something a little bit extra. A little bit more baggage.
Exactly. Got the COVID 19 down there, but maybe I had it before. I don't know. But I guess some people would say that I guess that's one of the best things you can get from a bachelor party.
that's definitely some baggage is better than some other baggage.
But, I was grateful to feel better, get better through that. And, it is what it is. So, but overall, good to be there and rocking. How you doing, Rob?
Yeah, man, I'm good, man. It's funny because we're happy that you're back in good health. I joke. But when you had told me that you caught it down there, you know what I mean? I was like, just worried about you, making sure that you were okay and how you handled it. But you ate it like a warrior, true dump truck, you know, style, like just Rick Ross, that energy. Yeah. And you sloughed it off and you got back to full health. So I'm really happy that you're feeling good, man. I have been going through just like a whirlwind over here, down here in Charlotte. It's been wild for me. I got T-boned a few Tuesdays ago. We're going to release this episode actually today on Sunday, because I know that over at Bills Mafia Network there, Buffalo fan base, they do have somebody else that releases on Monday. So we released it today, man. I got T-Bone DT a couple Tuesdays ago, and like I was just picking up my youngest King, picking up Quincy from school, and thank the good Lord that he was on the other side of the car when I got hit, and a young girl, you know, just ran a red light, and for whatever reason, she was in a real hurry, and she popped this good man and told my car. So like I've just been like, it's been a whirlwind down here in Charlotte, and anybody that's been in a car accident, Nickel City Crew, Bills Mafia, you guys know that that can be traumatic. So obviously my first thoughts were, you know, to my son and making sure that he was okay and there was no, you know, problems or any injuries with him. And then after that, man, it was just the wreckage and just, you know, kind of picking up the pieces after that. So it's been wild down here, man. It's not all sunny in Charlotte. So I know that you guys got the gray skies up there in the 716 up there in Western New York, man. It's not all sunny, man. Everything kind of just sometimes it's up and down, just like the Bills offseason, man. It's just kind of sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, man. So we're trucking through, man. I'm so grateful that everybody was safe.
Yeah, 100%, Rob, and glad to hear that, you know, you and Quincy were okay, and, you know, that stuff happens all the time. So, yeah. You know, you got to keep head on a swivel out there, and, you know, it just grateful that everybody's okay from that and move on. And, you know, everything's got a little bit of a lesson into it, right? And, you know, take things, you know, grateful and, you know, really appreciate life a little more after stuff like that, for sure.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, one of the situations as we start to get into it, you know, and dig into the Bills offseason is you're absolutely right. You want to appreciate some of the things that you have. And one of the things that have been on my mind is just, you know, how much are we appreciating 17? And you had kind of closed out season two, kind of letting everybody know and putting them on notice again that this is a generational talent that we have here in Buffalo. And DT, to be honest, you know, I'm looking at this team and I'm just making sure that we're crossing all the T's, we're dotting all the I's to make sure that we don't waste his years, because he's a really valuable piece. And one of the valuable pieces on the defense, obviously with Leslie Frazier taking a year off for football, is that Jordan Poirier is back in the building, man. You know that I'm happy about him coming back to the Bills, man. Jordan Poirier, it's a surprise. Obviously, a lot of us thought that he was going to be headed out of town, and he had that podcast and made his comments about the, you know, state taxes and down in Florida. And a lot of people thought he was going right there to Miami. He's back with the Bills, DT. That's a big deal to have Hyde and Poirier back there on the back end. It's kind of a situation where you can exhale just a little bit. There's been a lot of, you know, questions about the defense and different things like that with Tremaine being gone now and Leslie Frazier, as I mentioned. This kind of, okay, it kind of lets you breathe a little bit easier, because we all know that Hyde and Poirier, are the, you know, they're the backbone of this defense.
It's huge, Rob. I mean, in the beginning of this offseason, we kind of got the vibe that, you know, we might not see Edmonds or Poirier back. And, you know, to get your head around losing both of them was kind of, you know, tough. But then you defaulted. Well, if there was one to stay, it'd probably be Edmonds, right? Because he's younger, drafted him, you know, all about draft and develop and that type of vibe. But, you know, good for 49 going and getting the bag. I mean, we were never going to give him that type of money. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it by any means, but I knew, you know, we just couldn't string that, you know, this year especially. So that's just part of the business and something you got to watch out. And then, I kind of made it. Was this a little gamesmanship by being in the Bills, Rob? I mean, was this a little gamesmanship the whole time of Poirier talking about state taxes, Miami, then the Raiders were in the mix from reports, and then all of a sudden, the last day, it was Poirier back to Buffalo, and it seemed like the deal got done quick. So I don't know. It makes me think like this might have been the deal the whole time, Rob.
Well, I do think from this, I don't know about gamesmanship, but I do feel that, you know, the Bills had a line and Brandon Bean had already, you know, communicated that to Drew Rosenhaus, regardless of the fact that he had come out, you know, remember he was at training camp, you know, last year, and he was out there and he was trying to, you know, campaign for his guy a little bit and show his face. I think that the Bills had a line. I think that they weren't going to cross it, whether it had been with Edmonds along with Poirier. And they just kind of gave him the freedom to say, hey, listen, you be a free agent. You've never gotten this opportunity. You know, you didn't have much of a playing role on Cleveland. You come here, we strike gold, and you're an all pro. Go out, see what you're worth. You know, see what anybody, you know, kind of what the Ravens are doing with Lamar Jackson, which is a little bit different because I think there's some collusion with the owners going on there. But, you know, listen, test your market, see what it is. And I think that it was a situation where it may not have been as sweet as, you know, he thought that it could have been for, you know, a 32-year-old. He missed some time last year, elbow injury. I know he's been you know, extremely consistent, and that's been one of his highest qualities, him and Hyde back there. But I just don't think that he got the contract that he was hoping for, and him and Drew Orbison House were hoping for. And I think it was a situation where maybe not hat in hand coming back and begging, but more of a thing like, hey, you remember that shit that you brought up a little while ago? Okay, that all right, let's talk about that. And maybe the Bills had to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the combination with Hyde also just makes them more, you know, makes them who they are. You know, obviously Poyer was 13-1 with the Bills last year without Hyde at all. Yeah. Well, you know, for the first, you know, two games, but 13-1 when he played. And so
Poyer,
was still good without him.
That's crazy.
Still good without him. But what makes them so dangerous is that, you know, that chemistry, you know, back there together, and Hyde kind of getting obviously off a tough injury, but you look at that as an older player, you know, a year off, right? You know, year off of not getting hit every week and, you know, not getting, you know, banged up like that as Poyer did. But, you know, they can come off and have a good offseason back together, getting that same cohesive, you know, ready next year. That's what really makes him dangerous. So as much as Jordan Poyer was good this year, I think coming back with Micah Hyde is going to be, you know, take it up a level to kind of push it. They are getting older. They are maybe losing a step, but it all – injuries might linger a little more for him, but I think coming back together is going to help that, you know, in the whole cohesiveness, and take a little off them individually to come together as two and, you know, kind of put their powers together as one.
Yeah, like Power Rangers, so they've always been better together, you know. I mean, it is a crazy stat. You know, you're still in my notes because, you know, the Bills were 13-1 last year with Poyer on the field. So it just speaks to, you know, his value. And kind of to my point, you know, I feel bad for him as a professional athlete. You know, I'm not one, but as a, you know, looking at a professional athlete, you know, they only have, you know, so much time to maximize, you know, on those contracts. They only have so much time to maximize on that guaranteed money. Again, that's one of the main squabbling points with, you know, Lamar Jackson. He doesn't want to put his body at risk if he's not going to get the guaranteed money when Deshaun Watson could. So, you know, I understand it. Like, when anytime that the player is trying to get what he's worth, I'm definitely free market, and I understand it, and I support it, and I feel bad that he didn't get the deal that he wanted to get in respects to what he, you know, probably envisioned or what Drew Rosenhaus may have sold him last year. But hey, I'm happy that he's back. Let's try to go get that ring. Obviously, him and Hyde together, as we've already stated, that you said, I mean, they're just better together. They just like combine like Voltron. There's something special in that defensive backfield together. So we'll see what it does for the Bills. I know that it's a big deal to have them both back again. Leslie Frazier's gone, you know, all eyes on McDermott. We've already talked about it, and we'll talk about it ad nauseum. I'm trying to figure out what does Tremaine Edmonds' exit really mean? Because listen, I know he had his supporters, and I know he's got a lot of people that are in his corner, and like you said, DT, I'm happy he got his bag. What I don't know what Chicago was smoking. They signed two middle linebackers at the exact same position on the exact same day, and one was for the fraction of the price, so I don't know why you needed to do it, but you did it, and I'm happy for him to get his money. I don't know what we're losing. I do know that we're losing something with coverage, and obviously it's going to be a situation where we have to either wait for the rest of free agency to play out, DT, or we have to see what the draft does. I'm just not as worried. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off, and I'm sure there's plenty of Bills Mafia Nickel City crew that'll tell me I'm crazy because of how rangy he is.
Yeah, and you know, it was kind of split down the middle, 50-50 with them, right? Half the people were, you know, didn't like him, half the people liked him. We were kind of critical in the offseason of like, all right, like, you got to earn this nickname. You got to earn this Savage. Name.
Savage. I remember that.
People.
Yeah.
And he did all right. I think he had some.
Oh, no, he had his best year. He had his best year.
In that regard. And like you said, the coverage is huge. I've been hearing it on GR the past 2 weeks, at the difference of, you know, when he's on and off the field, like what these teams did to us, you know, in the middle of the field. And that's big, you know, when you're trying to build a pass rush to get to these quarterbacks and, you know, force quicker passes, those are going to be the passes going across, you know, the middle, the crossers, the short game. You need a strong middle linebacker to defend that. But, you know, draft and develop the Bills. They got Bernard, even though he's not a middle backer per se, but, you know, there's a lot of production and versatility he can bring. He's not brought back Dotson. You know, not anywhere near the size of Tremaine Edmonds, but they can kind of have that elusiveness of getting across and making coverage that become almost positionless football, if you will, even if you got to bring, you know, almost like a safety type player down to fill that linebacker role when it comes to pass coverage. So, you know, go back to the end of the draft board, get yourself somebody like Draymond Edmonds, and just hope you can develop him as well, get him cheap. And there's some decent looks as we look through the draft when you look at middle backer. But, you know, now that's why we pay Matt Milano. This is why we extend Matt Milano. Like, pick up the slack. No,
they made their choice. Like, I mean,
first
they
team all pro. Choice. Yeah. You know, you don't play the same position, but you're going to have to make up for some stuff that 49 leaves.
Absolutely. I mean, the Bills, you know, Brandon Bean and the brass, they told us exactly what they thought and who they chose. And they chose Matt Milano. And that's obviously a great choice. You know, they paid a premium for, you know, Tremaine, and obviously they traded back up into the first round the year that we got Josh, and you know, draft and develop is all, you know, it sounds great and it's a great moniker, you know, but sometimes you just run out of time and you run out of runway. And that's kind of what happened with Josh Allen's deal. And, you know, all of the luxuries that you have with the salary cap and the way that you're able to massage it is just accentuated by the fact that you're paying a rookie quarterback who is the most premium position, will cost you the most money and the most percentage of your cap. And when you're paying him on a rookie contract, you're just really playing with house money, and we've run out of runway. So we'll see and get an opportunity now to see, you know, Brandon Bean do his gymnastics and his salary cap gymnastics. One of those moves that he's kind of, it was a little bit surprising in respects of the money, but it wasn't too crazy or anything like that. It looks like it could be a 1-year deal, and then they have some outs. Deontay Hardy, formerly Deontay Harris, DT, he is in the building. I didn't know much about him in respects to his name. Like, when they said Deontay Harris and now Hardy, it didn't click. But boy, when I saw those YouTube clips of him and I was like, oh, that's that dude from the Saints. I was like, I do remember this cat. And you know, immediately it was Joe Buck in my mind and listening to him, because obviously he was the NFC voice with Troy Aikman. And I'm like, oh, okay, yep. I remember this cat a few Sundays after Bills games and different things like that. You're watching the 4 o'clock window. And listen, speed, shifty. He's got some wiggle to him. And like, I don't know, man, did the Bills just find their new gadget guy? Because obviously, again, another signal to that would be the fact that they released Isaiah McKenzie, and Zeke and him kind of did the exact same thing. And I don't think Brandon Bean wanted the redundancy, and he's going in a new direction. And I'm intrigued, man. They've got my attention, DT. They've got my attention with this cat.
I'd agree, Robin. You say speed kills, man. Speed kills in this league. And, and they're trying, I feel like they're trying to mimic the Tyreek Hill look, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's got a long way to go to become Tyreek Hill, but you know, that type of guy, a guy that can just burn it up and get it going. And that all comes with the progression of Josh Allen's career of having to, you know, if there's gonna have to be times where you just need a guy to dump it off to, gadget guy. But this guy can go deep too, from what it looks like.
He's run all the routes. Yeah. He's outside, but, slot.
Exactly.
He's got experience.
But
everywhere.
Doesn't have a lot of receiver work in his career, been injured a lot of it. You know, so that's obviously been something. Was an all pro returner, you know, back in 19. So definitely flashes of good things. Maybe it's like a Poyer situation where he just needs another chance, you know, not that good in Cleveland, comes here and starts popping off and shows his true talent. And the speed's there. If he can stay healthy, I think they'll find a way to utilize him and get him rolling. And, you know, as much as we work on his, we like Zeke and everything he brought, but you know, the stick was up. It was what, four years now in, there was flashes. And then this year was the year to, all right, like, see what you can do. And he just really didn't get anything
too
done.
Much dumb shit. You know what I mean? And I'll give honor, you know, I'll give respect where respect's due. You know what I mean? Cause my boy Jay Spence, the King, over there at Buffalo Rumblings, was never a big Zeke fan, and we would go back and forth because I love Zeke. Like, I'm a personality guy, and I love personality, and you know, and I love the flair, and I love the swag and all the other stuff, and there's a place for that, for sure. One of the, you know, funniest moments I remember of Zeke is that Bills Behind the Blue or whatever, you know, series that they had. And like, they were doing it on the night that he was on America's Got Talent. And that was funny. And he brought the pizza in, and they're like, you know, like waiting for hours. Like, when is your part? Like, you're like, oh, it's coming right up. And it was funny to watch him interact with those guys. And he calls himself the face of the franchise. And obviously Josh Allen is. So it's just, you know, that sarcasm just makes it so much funnier. And I like Zeke. the jig was up, man. Like, he just did a lot of dumb shit. And, you know, I remember the one play that he ran out of bounds and then that, like, eliminated a receiver for Josh, and then we got a pick on that one play. I can't remember if that was Minnesota or not, but there was just – there was a lot of just dumb plays where he would just kind of hurt the team a little bit. And, you know, obviously that week one, that was a weird pass where it went right through him against the Rams. That wasn't on his, you know, on him or Josh, but, you know, just it just missed him. But there was just some, a lot of just dumb plays from Zeke that I think you just said it perfectly, man. The jig was just kind of up where's the production for all of the bravado?
Yeah, 100%. And hopefully, you know, Hardy comes in and, you know, gives us that pop if we put him in the return game. I think Hines was a good returner, but not really on the punt side as much. So maybe he'll come in and spark that punt side of return game a little more. And, you know, if he can come in and even give, you know, what Isaiah McKenzie did snap-wise this year, you know, that'd be good enough, you know, coming in for this offense. And still have Jamison Crowder under contract. I don't know. I'm not 100% confident he's, you know, this might be a cut situation, but, you know, still out there. And if he's back healthy again and, you know, does kind of what we needed to do last year, and him and Hardy kind of combo in that you know, Swiss Army knife type of role. But they got away from when they were using McKenzie in the years past, like on those jet sweeps and stuff like that. I didn't really see a lot of those this last year, and those always seemed to be kind of productive, you know, when they did those. So, you know, maybe we can get into something like that again, a little running back slot combo, you know.
And you're killing it right now, DT, because what does that lead to the other question? Because what you're really saying is asking another question is, what is the difference between Dorsey again and Dable? And I can keep, you know, beating a dead horse if you want to. And I continue, you know, I'll keep doing it because I'm just worried about the young man. I don't know if he's ready for this job. Next year, we're going to find out a lot about him. We're going to find a lot out about his scheme, the way that he matches up. Where was the window dressing? You heard me and Nate Geary the weekend for your birthday talk about it. Where was the window dressing? Where are the screen passes? Where are zero trick plays last year? I heard that on WGR. I thought they were joking, but then I found out that they were not joking, that there was literally zero trick plays. Dable was good for that kind of stuff. You know, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday. It was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and he's, you know, licking his wounds from the Super Bowl in that respect. And then we're kind of going back and forth, and he was like, you know, like, what, you know, what are you guys doing up there? Like, and like, I don't have the best answer for him, and I didn't have the best answer for him. But one of the things that I'm looking at is Dorsey still, because what are you accentuating? How are you bringing out the best in your guys? I can't just have Josh put on a cape, and I also can't just have him launching bombs all day. I need some nuance. Where's the stuff? Where's the extra shit? You understand what I'm talking about, DT? Like, where is the stuff that makes the defense think twice? I watched a Super Bowl where Kansas City ran the same play, and all they did was press the R trigger like you would on your Madden game, and they flipped the field, and both times on a fake motion, the wide receiver was wide open both times, and all they did was flip the field and flip the formation. And it's just like, I don't have that creativity under Ken Dorsey. I haven't seen it yet. I'm not saying that it's not there. I have not seen it. And I used to see that all the time with Dable. I saw it all the time.
Yeah, and a good example is like the Dolphins. Literally, their defense was to just zero blitz us every play, you know, and there was no, like you said, window dressing to get around that. So hopefully, you know, Hardy coming in can bring that different gauge and different speed. And, you know, this guy's hungry too. He had a good kind of start to his career and then hasn't really been able to get on the field since with injury. So he's eager to kind of rewrite the ship and, you know, and show he's worthy to be in this league. And, you know, what better way to come in with a great opportunity here with the best quarterback in the world. So that's how I see it. And, you know, this guy's going to be hungry to prove himself. And I think it's a good deal for Dorsey and the guys. So like, all right, now we got this little weapon, you know, let's see what we can do with it.
Yeah, I agree. I just it just seems to me that I'm starting to get a little bit restless, and because of that, it's kind of a more like, what have you done for me lately? You know, the old Janet Jackson song, what have you done for me lately? And I'm kind of looking at Dorsey that way. You already know how I feel about McDermott, you know, and I'm definitely looking at him that way for this year, because I'm a little bit concerned with the fact that we're a little bit too predictable, and I don't want to be predictable on offense. You know, on defense, I guess it's a little bit of a different story if you're effective. You know, Sean McDermott's defenses have been you know, extremely effective throughout the regular season and helping out the offense. But obviously, we've already talked about what happens in those big game situations where he kind of changes his stripes and he kind of, you know, he kind of reverts to a little bit more of a show look where he's a little bit more conservative. So again, for him, there's no place to hide for him. He'll be calling the plays maybe, or maybe he'll ship that off to one of those assistants that he has. But to me, it's his baby. It's his defense. So I'll be watching him the kind of the same way. But on offense, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm hoping that Hardy can come in and that Dorsey can use him. That's the real thing for me is can Dorsey use these weapons that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are getting ready to pick up in the draft. As we proceed,
I don't think it's over yet, though, Rob. You know, with the weapon wise offensively, I mean, you see Brandon Cooks get moved yesterday, and you know, Odell's still out there, Ezekiel Elliott's out there. You know, there's still guys that can.
Brandon Bean said he wants a big back. He said that the other day at the press conference. He's got about $9 million or so in change to work with. Obviously, they'll need about $3 million or so for the rookies, and you know, injury settlements and different things like that as things pop up in the offseason, but replacement players. But it'll be tight, man. I mean, he can work some more magic. It'll be tight, but he definitely said that it was not over, and he let the Bills fans know that it was not over in respects to free agency. So maybe you're right. Maybe there's something coming down the pipe. I don't know, man. OBJ, I think he was mad on Twitter or something like that, saying they're trying to pay box wine prices for, you know what I mean, for the best wine. So I don't think he's gonna come cheap. I think his ship may have sailed here in Buffalo. We'll see.
Yeah, and then is being under the same mindset as we are, you know, as us, you and me, and Nickel City, and most fans of, all right, now I'm gonna here's some gadgets with the money we could get. Right. Now I want to see these guys being utilized, you know, as opposed to last year, I went and got Naeem Hines and we never saw him, you know. So this year, it is being coming in there and being like, all right, now I want to see you use, you know, I went to the grocery store.
Yeah,
I got
a bunch of the groceries.
I need you to cook it up now. Absolutely. It's not going to go bad in the refrigerator. So
absolutely. You're absolutely right. And that's one of the things that we'll be looking at. And I know that we'll be talking about it ad nauseum throughout the offseason as we approach kickoff for the 2023 year is, yes, what's up with Bean and the defense? Excuse me, what's up with McDermott and the defense? How is he leading it? There's no place else for him to hide. And then offensively, Dorsey, you only get 1 year to say that it was my first year. That was last year. You know what I mean? Now I'm looking for him to make adjustments and to make changes, you know, in a positive way for the offense.
And while I got this actually on my mind too, I was talking to Big Ben last week, you know, Big Ben Snell from our tailgate.
Absolutely.
And he showed me a stat that was pretty eye-popping, I thought, of last year, Bills were 29th in the league in yards after catch, which they've been on the lower end of that, you know, since really Josh's career start. But the final four teams in the playoffs were all top five in yards after catch. So, you know, it's basically Josh threw for all his yards, literally, and like through
the
yards,
air. Yeah,
so
through the air.
definitely. So, that's like it's somebody to create a little separation, a little bit of, you know, yards after catch and be able to have that Tyreek Hill type of vibe. You know, hopefully will work out and move us up the charts and when it comes to that, too. So,
yeah, I'm all with it. I mean, I definitely love diversity and I love speed and. I definitely love all the window dressing and different things. I just remember the Super Bowl and how distinct that was, how wide open they were. And I just, you know, just had to, you have to give props to Andy Reid. He's a great play caller the same way that, you know, we've got a few of them in the league right now. You know, and we'll see what Dorsey can do as we shift. And as we begin to wrap up, you know, free agency has kind of been because of the Bills situation with Josh Allen's contract and the different types of restructures they've had to do to kind of just get under the cap and then have some operating space. We signed Connor McGovern from Dallas. He's going to come in and play guard for us. I'm not sure left or right side, but it looks like him and Bates will figure that out along with the offensive line coach there with Kramer. Tyrell Dotson comes back to the Bills, as we talked about earlier. Dane Jackson, along with Cam Lewis, are back in the secondary at corner position. Looks like the Bills are bringing both of them back. I think they tendered Jackson or something like that. So it looks like they have an opportunity to continue to keep some depth. Obviously, we want Trey White to come back to full strength, and we're hoping that he can. But in the meantime, you want to make sure that you've got some depth back there. So I wouldn't even be surprised in the draft if they target that as well. Tyler Matakavich, he's back as well for the special teams. And then the Bills bring in a backup quarterback when Case Keenum leaves in one of Josh's good buddies, Kyle Allen, who I know he works out with, you know, with Palmer out there with, I think it's Darnold. Those guys all came in the league together and they all our boys, and I guess all the, you know, the wags, the wives and girlfriends, they all hang out and stuff like that. So Josh Allen gets his little buddy with Kyle Allen coming in, who hasn't had much success, but hasn't really had much time on the field either throughout his NFL career. What do you think about the, you know, the signings? That's it's not like, I guess it's not Mario Williams and everybody's down there at the stadium and, you know, waiting for the jersey release and the press conference, but it's something with Hardy along with McGovern coming in. What are your thoughts of the Bills and who are they able to retain?
Yeah, I mean, being played with what he had, right? And I think those guys were crucial. Dane Jackson had some questionable, you know, situations last year. And Cam Lewis, you know, might have been a single-handedly game.
Literally against Minnesota. He literally put his hand on the ball and helped Justin Jefferson beat us.
Literally single-hand loss of, you know, a one seed, you know. So, yes, but, you know, who else? We'd have to go out and fill those spots somewhere. So keep people familiar with the building, and, you know, you're going to rely on Trey White getting back to full health, Kyrie Elam taking a step up in his second year. So these guys won't have to kind of be what they had to be last year with, you know, with all the forefront. And we saw success with Dane Jackson, a little bit with Cam Lewis, but definitely with Dane Jackson on the year before when they had Trey White, you know, and had Levi Wallace, and Dane Jackson was able to come in and you know, and play that kind of third fiddle a little stronger. Last year, in the limelight, kind of got cooked a little bit, but
you know,
hopefully he gets back to that original, you know, as we see from the year before. And Connor
McGovern coming in, it's a good deal, like, because now we don't have to draft a guard early, right, DT?
Yeah,
I mean,
they're still in the mocks, they're still kind of flirting with those, you know, that's about the most boring.
Well, maybe not early, right? Maybe not first or second round, you don't have to do it, right?
Yeah, but it's probably one of the most boring draft, you know, to draft an offensive guard. It's like, oh man, like, you know, not even a tackle or anything. But I think when you think Dallas, you always think they got a good line. All five across are usually, you know, pro bowlers or all pro. Absolutely. And McGovern came in again with some injury, second chance, come here to Buffalo. Can't be worse than Roger Saffold.
No, hell no.
That's and I think Bates will be back, you know, as rolling again, and you know, we got to see improvement from the tackles as they go in, and it's there, the size is there, but you know, you got to protecting 17's got to be the number one priority. I think McGovern was good for the money we got him for. We'll see what they do in the draft, but you know, I really like that. Before, you know, I thought Poyer and Edmonds were gone, and you know, we really weren't doing, before they restructured anybody, and I saw Connor McGovern, I was happy with that. So I'm glad they kind of, you know, built on that and, you know, got some secondary help. And Dotson, I think, is huge with Edmonds being out, and you know, Tyler.
He'll get a chance. Everybody goes to training camp, everybody gets a helmet, everybody gets a dorm room, you know, and you go earn it. You know, that's one of the great meritocracies of sports, is you go earn your shit. You, nobody's going to give you anything, and I love that. So Dotson wants a shot. I'm sure they'll draft somebody as well, and he gets a shot. You know, Edmonds will be tough to replace, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to poo-poo on that or anything like that. I know we've joked a lot about it, and I know we had our big mic on from you know, from Not Your Average Podcast in the 716, and he was talking a lot of shit about Edmonds and stuff like that. He was a great linebacker, and I know that we drafted him, and we, you know, we developed him and brought him along. The bag that he got, we couldn't have given him, period. And nor should a lot of Bills Mafia Nickel City Crew, nor should he have wanted to give him $50 million guaranteed. I'm sorry, not for a middle linebacker. It's just not where the money is allocated anymore. So we'll see Dotson, and we'll see some other guys get their opportunities as we approach training camp in the summer. As we wrap up, you know, it's interesting as we're talking about the draft. Draft's coming up next month. Like I said, we'll still break a little bit. We're still decompressing. Don't judge me and DT. We went through a hard season. But again, we're happy to be back with you guys. Season 3, Episode 1. What are we looking for, DT, as we come up to the draft next week? Because, you know, I'm an avid WGR listener, and, you know, Jeremy White, he's got the train, and everybody's got to get their ticket and get on the wide receiver train or not. I'm on it. I'm in the first class. I mean, they've been serving me soups and bringing me, you know, appetizers and shit, and I'm getting, I already ordered my meal. They cooking my steak now. I'm right in the front car of the wide receiver train. I want one. I would prefer one round one, But I also heard that there's not really, you know, too many round one grades, excuse me, for these wide receivers. So if the best ones are gone early by the 15th, 18th pick, then you might as well wait till second round, maybe address another need that you have if you think you have one that's more pressing. What do you think about the Bills coming up next month? I know we'll talk about it as well as we approach the draft, but I'm on the wide receiver train, DT. I'm not getting off. I'm with Jeremy White. I'm with those guys on the wide receiver train. Give Josh more weapons. Deonte Hardy does not mean you don't draft a receiver. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Keep adding to the cupboard. The Kansas City Chiefs never think that way. The best teams never think that. I mean, Cincinnati, they don't think that way. They more weapons. Let's surround our quarterback with the best possible options for him on every single drop rack.
Yeah. And Connor McGovern really took a – I was kind of on the offensive line train because of, you know, how the year ended and how brutal that line looked. And, you know, knowing how important 17 is and protecting him. And if that line played like that, you might as well had anybody back there. It didn't matter, you know. Right. So right. I was on the offensive line train kind of – and then I started to, you know, all right, Spencer Brown's going to have a full offseason. He didn't last year. Deion Dawkins is going to be stepping up. We get Connor McGovern. Bates will be back. Mitch Morse was huge when he was on the field. So it's like, all right, the offensive line might not be in as worse shambles as I thought. So, yeah, I I'm definitely on the weapon side. I like the conservative approach, so don't reach. If it's not there, 15, 16, 17, you know, wait. And, you know, you do have to address the linebacker situation, I think, for sure. Not necessarily doesn't have to be the first round, but there is some decent first round talent that you could be getting, you know, at 27, you know. Okay. So the guy from Clemson, I forget his name.
I haven't dug in, man. I haven't dug in. I lean on you guys, man.
Kind of remind and Jack Campbell is the guy from Iowa. Campbell really is reminds me just a Tremaine Edmonds type player. He's got that size, got that speed, and the guy from Clemson's pretty good too. So I haven't dug too much into the receiver train. We'll see if
I'm not mad
if they pick a receiver, I'll say that. But I think you do gotta address the middle linebacker situation. And if these two guys are there, you know, a lot of teams are paying $50 million for their middle linebacker. They're probably not drafting one in the first round. So we might have our first pick at those guys. So that's kind of where I'm at currently on the draft talk.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing from wide receivers just from, you know, WGR and other people that I listen to is just that it's not, it's not like top heavy. It's not a lot of blue chips, you know what I mean? So it could be, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, maybe Jordan Addison, maybe like one other guy who really deserves a first round grade. So when you think of it that way, 27, you're probably not getting a sniff at any of those guys anyway. So if there's another need that you feel that you have to fill, I'm at this point, I'm ready to back off a little bit. If they do go defense, if it's defensive tackle or if it's linebacker like you're talking about, I think I'll let off of that a little bit and then wait for the second round. But I want a Zay Flowers in the second round or whoever. Yeah. I want whoever it is. Second, I mean, you can pick two receivers for all I care, because even with the Hardy contract, it's not a situation where I just think that you should just stop. And I'm hoping that they don't think that. I know that some Bills fans are worried about that, but DT, surround Josh with weapons, man. Like you said a couple episodes ago, like you're almost ready to say F the defense. Like I'm almost ready to say fuck the defense too. Like I really don't care in that respect. Cause I have an ulterior motive. I want everything on my head coach that everybody continues to tell me that I'm supposed to kiss, his feet. So I want everything on him. I want all the responsibility on him. And it's very, very, you know, conspicuous to me that Leslie Frazier said that I'm going to just back away, but then made it known that I'm not retiring, which means that he's backing away from something. We were talking about it at the barbershop, and I thought of you, and I was like, y'all got to listen to Nickel City Crew. I'm like, my boy DT, my co-host, was already on it. Like, something's going on here. He wants to back away from the Bills and from the defense. It's for a reason. Now, obviously, we know that it obviously couldn't have been just, you know, you had, you know, I thought about the fact that it could maybe be for Edmonds and Poyer and then not coming back. So obviously we know it's not that because we got Poyer coming back. I think that he's stepping away from responsibility again because he's catching so many arrows. So I want everything to be on Coach McDermott. It's on his defense. I'm looking for Ken Dorsey to take ownership of the offense and have a little bit more creativity because it seemed a little bit of vanilla last year and Josh Allen put on the cape a little bit too much for my liking. And I know that you felt the same way, and a lot of Bills Mafia, a lot of Nickel City Crew felt the same way, DT. So as we approach the draft, Surround Josh with talent. Do not waste it. I just don't want to waste him, DT. That's my only fear. That's what I told my buddy from high school that's an Eagles fan yesterday. We were going back and forth, and I just said, I just don't want to waste time with him. And I think we're getting dangerously close. I know it's not there yet, but we're getting close. His deal kicks in this year for real. And I don't know. He's just not going to be the man forever if you're not going to protect him, plus not surround him. It just won't look the same.
Yeah, it's an easy to algorithm on paper, right? And then, you know, you gotta get it through. In Madden, it's easy. Just load up your line, get a bunch of weapons, get Odell Beckham, you know, make it happen. But yeah, it's impossible. You can't. It's a non-negotiable. You can't waste it because, as I said, it's not a generation. Like, this is probably once in a lifetime type of quarterback that we'll see in Buffalo, and you know, we're not. It has to happen. You know, so whatever you got to do. And I really hope, what we were saying earlier, I'm more and more on that point now. Brandon Bean has the same idea as us, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to the grocery store. Here's all the stuff. You better make me a good ass dinner.
I want a gourmet meal, and I've given you every ingredient, and I'm really looking for it, because eventually they're going to start questioning him. They're going to start questioning McDermott more. They'll start questioning a lot of stuff. If the losing continues in the playoffs, again, we are not so spoiled that we forget what it was like before. However, we have graduated. So again, I have encouraged Nickel City Crew, Bills Mafia, to graduate. It is okay to expect your Buffalo Bills to be good. They are under great leadership. The ownership supports that leadership, and I am in favor of that. However, I will not turn a blind eye to incompetence. I will not turn a blind eye to negligence in some cases that I can argue with you. 13 seconds comes to mind for negligence. You have to say something. It doesn't matter if you don't want to step on someone's toes or you don't want to ruffle feathers, ruffle them. That's part of your job. So again, my focus is laser as we come up on 2023. And I think it's a pivotal year for you know, not necessarily for Brandon Bean, but I know it's a pivotal year in my mind for Sean McDermott. I do. And I think it's the same for Ken Dorsey. Josh Allen is so good that if you continue to fuck up, people will look at you asking you what's wrong. And that's the whole entire point. If we continue to waste these years of him, people are going to eventually look at who's around Josh and what's around Josh, not Josh. I'm pretty sure know that Josh is not the problem. He is the solution for all of the problems that we've had and all of the things that we've wanted. We've always wanted a franchise quarterback since Jim Kelly. And this guy is on another level than Jim Kelly, athletically and time. It's 2023. It's not 1992 anymore. Don't waste this guy, because eventually they're going to be looking at you.
Yeah, and time moves fast, Rob. Time moves fast. I mean, we're a year by, going into year six. I mean,
yeah.
Granted,
keep it real.
Major injuries, you're probably looking at a 12 to 15 career. So you're not halfway yet, but
you're
creeping up on it.
Yeah, you're creeping up on it. And I just don't want to waste the opportunities, because I think that we have a wonderful window right now, Von coming back. I think we just have Poyer back now. I think we just have a window. And I think we kind of need to get in that crack and at least, again, go represent the American Football Conference in the Super Bowl. I will let all of the chips fall from there. I don't really give a shit after that. I mean, I know that there will be jokes if we go 0-5. I know all of it. Go back to the Super Bowl. I'm an adult. I can go there if I feel like it, or I can throw the most epic party of all parties, DT, with you, and have you come down to Charlotte or some shit. Like, I can enjoy it. And I'll just let the chips fall. I want to be back in the Super Bowl. I think we're good enough to win it. You got to get there. And boy, Kansas City winning another one this year really stung. And the way that Cincinnati beat us this year really stung. And 10 points on offense, that shit really, it just stung, man. And I don't know how many more years. You can think that you have a big-ass window, and all of a sudden it's shut.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And this is a situation where, you know, offensively, defensively, like you said, it's you look at the way the NFL's going and the way that, you know, the chips fall, the best defense since the 85 Bears didn't touch Mahomes and lost in the Super Bowl. So, you're right.
Receiver
first round.
Oh, I mean, hey, man. I mean, I don't know, man. Just give Josh some weapons. I don't care when you get them, but get him a bunch of them. As we wrap up tonight, man, I really appreciate you, DT. Season 3, we have officially kicked off. Again, we'll take a little bit of a break, but we'll be right back at y'all, man, right before the draft, and we'll talk about it. If something crazy happens, yes, we will interrupt your regularly scheduled program, and we will come back with a crazy episode. But for now, The Bills, again, you heard the GM just the other day, Brandon Bean, said we got about $9 million in space and got some rookies to sign and some draft picks to sign and all that other stuff, free agent, you know. So we'll see how it works out for the rest of free agency. But I think that things will be a little bit quieter at One Bills Drive before the draft, and then we'll see what's up, man. They do the Lamar dirty. I know we got to go, but they do the Lamar dirty out there, DT. I am so mad. I stayed off of Twitter now because, like, I'm done. I'm done with Twitter for a little while, man. I'm going to let you take the account over.
You said it earlier, Rob. It's collusion. I mean, the collusion of having to put these owners are putting the foot down of listening.
They're mad at Jimmy Haslam, period. This is about Jimmy Haslam and Deshaun Watson's contract. This has nothing to do with Lamar Jackson or his ability, or I hear all this stuff about how many games he's missed and all this other shit. And I'm like, yes, you would prefer that your starting quarterback is there in the playoffs. I don't know for a fact, but, you know, as a sports bravado, I know that motherfucker could have played last year in the playoffs. There was no way that he was going to come back out there if they weren't paying him. So they hadn't paid him, so I wouldn't have let him go out there either. I don't care if it was his agent or his mama, his agent, or his uncle Ray Ray, or who the fuck ever. I would have told my nephew the same thing. Do not go out there, DT. Do not go out there. Like, they are playing this dude right now. They mad at Jimmy Haslam. They're playing him pretty hard right now.
Yeah. But I mean, you look at, you know, the NBA now, right? And these kind of the players literally run that league. I don't want to play here. Go to me a Supermax somewhere else.
Oh no, the Shield is definitely gonna stand up now. The Shield is gonna stand up, DT.
You know, that's I think what it's coming to. Like, hey, you can't just get this type of money, you know, and we got to reset the market and get it done. But yeah, I mean, what else are they going to do, really? And their cards are already played. Lamar still has them all close to his chest, right? He can go anywhere and be a primetime player. So the Ravens have kind of already played their hand. What are they going to do? You know, they're Tyler Huntley obviously can't cut it. And what are they going to draft? They're still late in the draft to really get anybody, you know, on that top tier.
If I was in his circle, in my opinion, I would wait all the way till whatever it is, the week 10 or week 13 to make sure that I get my accrued year so they can't, you know, franchise me again and act like this year never happened. But I wouldn't play. I really wouldn't play. If I got it financially and I can afford it, I wouldn't play on the non-exclusive tender, which is, again, about $15 million under the other franchise tag tender. So he was supposed to get 47 on the exclusive. Then they gave him the non-exclusive because they had already sent out the text messages, because these owners run the league and they talk, and they are not going to do it on their regular phone, but I'm sure they have burner phones. Are you kidding? They have burner accounts. They talk to each other. They are billionaires. They said, fuck Jimmy. We are not giving out another. Don't any of you give out a contract, all guaranteed again. Don't do it. And we'll deal with Jimmy when we get a chance to deal with Jimmy. And that's exactly what's happened to Lamar. So it's just sad. Again, I feel bad for Poirier for not getting the bag that he thought, or maybe Drew Rosenhaus thought he'd get. But I'm happy he's back in Buff, man. This is a ruthless league, DT. It's a ruthless league.
Yeah, 100%. We got to, and to go get it, you gotta be ruthless. You know, you gotta.
Yeah, I guess you gotta
get the guys, you gotta get the players, and
So I guess they would be billionaires if they didn't have some Gordon Gekko in them. So I guess that's how it goes. But I appreciate it, man. As always, Nickel City Crew, spread love, not hate. These were my Bills thoughts said out loud. Hit them with a go, Bills, DT, as we exit season 3.
Go Bills! Episode 1. Go Bills! Off season.
Ooh, let's go. We made it.